Bertha, that was so precious to me. That poem, when I had, I didn't know what I had at the time, but I almost died. They brought me back from Brazil. I was so sick, and Roy remembers this. It took them 4 days to figure out what I had. I had typhoid fever, and I came so close to dying. I had what they call an out-of-body experience. It was amazing. It was great. And afterwards, a nurse brought to me that poem. That's when the Lord was carrying me, and I knew it so clearly, so clearly. A precious time. A lot of times, things that we go through are hard, and yet afterwards, the Lord has been teaching us. And what I'm going to talk about this morning is some of that, because why does God allow pain in this world if He's a God of love? Have you heard anybody say that, or have you read articles on that? Usually it's mockery. But you know what? There is a lot of pain. There is a lot of suffering. It was asked, why do we question God? Why did you let that happen to me? As believers, I want to talk to us about that this morning. At this age, I find that we're talking a lot more about pain than ever before. Issues in our lives. So much so that we've got to go to the doctor and make appointments all the time to figure out what's going on with us. They don't like that pain. How's that?
That itself is a pain.
That itself is a pain, is for sure. So I don't know how you do with pain, but I don't do well with pain. In fact, Laura thinks I overreact. I don't know why. But I'll give you an example. One day in the tribe, I was going under a house. You can see in the back. Oop, can't see in the back yet. Oop, didn't show. See if we can make it go this way. Okay. You can see in the back underneath there, it's about 8 feet high, and I put...
I think it's probably not true, though.
Oh, yeah. This could be. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good job. He's the man. And back in the corner there, you see it's dark, but I made a tool shed back there for my tools so I could work on things even when it was raining underneath the house there. It worked out really good. So this one day I went under there because I was going to get a tool, and as I bent down to look at the open up the toolbox lid, all of a sudden I got a shock. I was startled by a tremendously dangerous 6 foot bushmaster curled up under the toolbox lid. Like, whoa! So I jumped back and I got my machete and dispatched of its head. And showed it to the Indians. They were just right outside there, and I had it over the machete, and I said, guys, look at this. And they said, oh, be careful. Where there's one, there's almost always another one. And I thought, that's a superstition. So I walked back into the room, and wham! I got struck. And really hard. It really, really hurt. So I raised up my pant leg, and sure enough, I saw what I expected. Two holes bleeding. So I hollered to Laura upstairs there, bring the flashlight quick because I got to see the snake that struck me. So she brought it down, and as she was searching with the flashlight, I was dancing and jumping and hollering, and that thing got me really bad. So all of a sudden she looked around and she found it. To my chagrin, it was not what I thought. It wasn't even a snake. It was a piece of wire. I stepped on the bottom of the wire like this, and it had two points on it, and it didn't hit that hard that it made me bleed. But it wasn't a snake, and I don't know why she was laughing so hard. It wasn't that funny. But I want to switch gears for a little bit. Who and what kind of people does the world consider to be the beautiful people? Switch gears quite a bit, right? We'll get back there. So anyway, the beautiful people, who are they? They must be youthful. They must appear to be successful. They must have beautiful hair. or not. Or you think of who all they consider to be beautiful, and one I hear quite a bit about is this couple right here. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, I think it is. And they're beautiful people, right? I read that they're going through a messy divorce right now. Not so beautiful. But the world thinks they're beautiful, in spite of that. So, it doesn't sound too beautiful to me. So, I think of people in a place where there is no beauty. What about them? There are many places in the world where we find people that are not beautiful, such as leper colonies. I don't know if you've ever been to one. Nowadays, a lot has changed. But like this one here was out on an island, separate from everybody else, isolated from people, so nobody else would get this horrible, horrible disease. And there in Manaus, we have a leper colony, just a little bit downriver from Manaus. And in the 50s, I remember very clearly, it was a terrible place, such a sad, sad place. Because, like in Bible times, there were lepers, only lepers there. Everybody was isolated. They could not come in from there at all, to there at all. They couldn't even keep their babies. When they had babies, they were taken away from them and they were adopted. Did the parents want that? No. But it kept the babies from catching the terrible disease. They were lonely people. They were sad people, hopeless people, because there was no treatment. There was no hope for recovery. And all they could do is watch as their extremities shriveled up and became deformed without any hope. Now, another pause. I didn't know how to make this work without without having that. So, at that time, there was somebody over in India working with lepers in India, in leper colonies and so forth, trying to discover a cure for them. Dr. Brand, he wrote a book that's really good. He's a great Christian guy. And he wrote a book called Ten Fingers for God. And while he was doing that, working amongst the lepers, the people that were working with him, his colleagues, they were always afraid that they would catch it too. So they were always checking their bodies, seeing if there was a white mark and if it was none there. Because they knew if it was, they had got it too. And so one night, Dr. Brand himself had a very frightening experience. He had gone on a quite a long trip. A transatlantic trip by boat and a long train ride. When he got back to England, he was really tired. He got ready for bed. And as he removed his shoe, he felt, as he pulled his sock off, that, oh no, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble, I caught it. His foot was numb. And so there was no feeling in his feet at all. And so he just knew, I'm a leper. So all that night, he lay there just trying to imagine his life from now on. Because he realized that he was going to be an outcast. He would lose all his medical staff who were willing to help. They wouldn't be willing to help anymore. It was devastating to him. They would be shattered by his disaster. And after years of being separated from his family, now he'd stay separated the rest of his life. It was a horrible night for him. And in the morning, he thought, I need to confirm this before making any statement at all to my staff. So with trembling fingers, he bared the skin by his ankle there, and he jabbed in a needle hard like that. And boy, did he scream. He realized, you know what? That hurt, but it was great to feel that pain. Because it meant that he did not have the disease. It was a long train ride, and he was sitting in one position for a long time, and his foot had gone to sleep. But from that time on, whenever he'd cut his finger or jab himself with something, twist an ankle, whenever he felt pain, with fervent gratitude, he would say, thank God for pain. Thank God for pain. And it's interesting that when we think about pain, it's not easy to say, oh, that hurt. Thank you, Lord. But that taught me quite a bit there about pain. There's got to be a reason for it. Turned out that Dr. Brand was very successful. The treatment was so good that it stops the disease, boom. Right where they began taking the treatment, it stopped. Now, it doesn't get rid of all their extremities and everything that were ruined, but no, it stops the disease from continuing to make havoc on his body. So, and from spreading it to others. So no longer do they have to be isolated from their family. They can keep their babies, all that kind of thing. Just such a wonderful, wonderful thing. But that answers the question to the first question is, why does a loving God allow pain? You know, it's interesting, as believers, we don't want to question God. We can ask Him things, we can talk about it to Him, share our feelings with Him, but we know this, He is God and we're not. And also in Romans 11:33 it says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom of and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways. And in Psalm 139:14 says, I praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And one of the things that is wonderful is that we can feel pain. I'll explain a little bit more later on. It's for our own good. It's for our safety. It's actually a gift from God. And so we should, instead of questioning, instead of getting upset, thank the Lord for the gift of pain. And I want you to meet a family. Let me make sure that I'm doing this right. There we go. Yeah. I want you to meet a family that I consider to be truly beautiful, a couple. Not like Brad and, is that his name? And all these other beautiful people. But to me, they were the most beautiful people that I ever met. I want to introduce you to them. They lived in this leper colony in Manaus. And they were truly beautiful people. Pastor Pedro and his wife, they were ravaged by leprosy. Now, I'll tell you what that means. When they came there to the leper colony, this was before Dr. Brandt discovered the cure for that, but they had bad eyesight, really bad, and that's why she has on dark glasses, might as well have them because she didn't see that much anyway, and their extremities, like some of those other pictures there, their noses, their ears, their toes, it's hard to look at them, but my heart melt to watch them try to help each other. With their fingers like that, they tried to button each other's buttons. And they tried to straighten out their clothes and kind of do their hair and stuff like that. And it was hard to be embarrassed and yet at the same time not cry. It was amazing. Just so lovingly toward each other. But their gnarled fingers just didn't cooperate. Wouldn't do what they wanted to do. And why is that? Because leprosy kills the nerves. They didn't feel pain. And because they didn't feel pain, they couldn't feel when they were burning themselves on a fire, on a stove, when they cut themselves with a knife. Didn't even know that at all. And at night, sometimes the rats and cockroaches would be chewing all over. They didn't know it. They didn't feel it. And what a damage it did to their faces that are no longer beautiful. But to me, they're so beautiful because we went to encourage them and instead came away so encouraged. Put to shame, actually. It blew me away because they didn't have one word of complaint. Not at all. They didn't question God. Why me? Why leprosy? They knew the word. They knew, like Isaiah 45:9 says, woe to him who quarrels with his maker. So when we question, are we quarreling with God? Who quarrels with his maker? Does the clay ask the potter, what are you making? In other words, don't make me like that. But they knew not to ask. No, they loved the Lord with all their hearts. It was amazing. It was so visible.
from what they said and the way they were and everything, and with all their hearts and their soul and their minds. I tell you why I can say their minds. Because life clearly was not about them. In their real tough situation like that, you know what they were thinking about? You know what they were talking about to me and to Laura? What they were praying about. They had so many questions about the people out in the tribes, about the tribal people, about the missionaries. They named them by name. And they said, what's happening with Dwayne Howe? What's happening with him? Well, how are the leaders in this tribe doing? They just went down on everything like that. And they had the answers that I didn't even have. They were up to date on everything. And what I thought was interesting in that, it says in their really tough condition, they were living out what Paul said we should do. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Their hope was in the Lord. Their hope was not in their condition. Be patient in tribulation. They were doing that. Be constant in prayer. Sorry, but it makes me very emotional. I learned so much. Yeah, it was just really, really great. Their thoughts, their prayers were about other people. It was not about themselves. I thought that was just totally worth knowing somebody like that. Their conversation was all about the Lord. They were serving Him only as they could. They couldn't go out to these tribes. They couldn't go out and meet people's needs. They were there in their house. Couldn't even really get down the steps. But how were they meeting other people's needs? How were they serving Him? Through prayer. Through prayer. And then Pedro asked me something that blew me away. He says, how can we pray for you? They had needs. They had so much that could have been prayed for. How can we pray for you? So I didn't dare cry in their presence there, but I cried when I left. Their love of the Lord and concern for the spiritual welfare of others, of the missionaries and the tribes that the missionaries were working with, showed me what true beauty really is. They were beautiful. They were beautiful. Nobody else would ever think that. But they were truly beautiful. So let's consider what God calls true beauty. First, we look at what the Lord doesn't see as beautiful. Last week I heard a comment of somebody in Sunday school that got me to thinking about what true beauty is. They said, don't call me beautiful. And it was kind of said as a joke, but I thought, they don't realize how beautiful they really are. Serve the Lord all their lives. So faithful in everything. But don't think they're beautiful. So I'm going to encourage you this morning for you to realize how beautiful you are. How beautiful you are. You may not think so anymore. We don't even like to look in the mirror anymore, do we? Don't want to look at our picture when we got married. Some things have changed. We don't look that way anymore. But what does the Lord consider beautiful? First, what He doesn't look at. In 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge outward appearance. That's what the Lord is saying. He knows how we are. We judge outward appearance. Do you? I do. And He says, people see things, they judge outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart. The heart. How beautiful is your heart? You know the Lord. You're His child. You're beautiful. You are beautiful. And Proverbs 6:25, do not desire her beauty. Now we're looking at the outward appearance that we look at. He says, do not desire her beauty in your heart. And do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. In other words, the outward beauty of people, don't judge by that. Don't judge by that. That's skin deep. And then Proverbs 6:25, charm is what? Deceitful. Is it? Oh, yeah. And beauty is vain. So what we look at it outside of other people, they look really, really pretty. Man, that's, I want to get to know that person. Vain. Ezekiel 28:17, your heart was proud because of what? Your beauty. Is the Lord talking to us? He talks to me. He says, don't look at the outside. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. You thought you're so beautiful. I think of Satan. He was the top angel. He thought he was beautiful. And he was, evidently. He really was beautiful. And that corrupted him. That changed his heart towards God, his maker. And that was the end of it for him. And so how the Lord doesn't look at our outward beauty. So we start looking at what? When we start looking for beautiful, looking to God. What is God like? We look at scripture, it says Psalm 27:4, he is beautiful. And he's a perfection of beauty. Zechariah 9:17. I'm just thinking here of beauty. Remember where, Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. We should let that soak in. What does that mean? God is beautiful. In fact, David said that, let me stay in the courts of the Lord forever looking at your beauty. Seeing you beautiful. And so he made us like him. In his image. And so, Genesis 1:31 says, God saw everything that he had made and behold it was very good. That's how he made us. Very good. So God is beautiful. He made us in his image. Meaning we are beautiful. Hang on here. Yep. So it's important that we understand that God is beautiful. He made us in his image. So that we look at ourselves and we say, you know what? God made us to be beautiful. And God created man in his image there. And also, it was very good. So God is beautiful. So we are beautiful. So... okay, beautiful is the picture. So Proverbs 3:15, she is more precious than jewels. So the Lord is looking at the outside, but the inside, more precious than jewels. And nothing you desire can compare with her. Isaiah 62:3, you shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. And that's the way I saw this couple, this Pedro and his wife. Crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord. Amazing. And this is the way he sees us, a royal diadem in the hand of God. 2 Corinthians 4:16. So we do not lose heart, though what? Our outer self is doing what? Wasting away. Do you feel it? Oh, yeah. Our inner self is being what? Renewed day by day. And how do we renew our inner self? The big way, I think, is in the Word of God. By staying in the Word of God, we don't compare ourselves with others, but we look at His face. We look at Him. And we learn from Him. And we become renewed day by day. And Psalms 34:5, those who look to Him are radiant. That's what he sees. Radiant. And their faces shall never be ashamed. So that's the beauty that counts with God. No matter what the mirror says, we're looking at the wrong mirror if we get discouraged. If we're looking at a mirror in front of us there, that's not the beauty that the Lord sees. The mirror of God's Word says, Ezekiel 16:14, and your renown went forth among the nations because of your beauty. For it was perfect through the splendor that I had bestowed on you. The splendor that I had bestowed on you. That's God speaking, declares the Lord God. Isaiah 62:3. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem again in the hand of your God. 1 Timothy 2:9. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control. What is he talking about there? It's not the outward, it's the inward. 1 Peter, do not let your adoring be external, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart. Of the heart. With the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight, is very precious. Very precious. So, should we consider ourselves to be beautiful or not? According to God's word, yes. God sees us as beautiful. The Apostle Paul says to encourage each other, to build each other up, just as you are already doing. So here is our word of encouragement for this week. Revelation 21:4, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any more mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. Is that encouragement?
Amen.
So beautiful is pain for this world, for this body, but we're going to get glorified bodies. We won't need pain anymore. There won't be any pain because everything will be different. And 2 Corinthians 4:17 says in the Living Bible, these troubles and sufferings of ours are, after all, quite small and won't last very long. Yet this short time of distress will result in what? God's richest blessings upon us forever and ever. So when we think of our distress, when we think of our sufferings, when we think of our pain, when we think of our lack of outward beauty, it doesn't matter. Because God's richest blessings will be on us forever and ever. For the former things have passed away. Oh, that says I'm done. let me check it out for sure. And so, yeah, the scale that we look at, the mirror that we look at, has got to be the Word of God. And so what the Lord is saying, and this is to encourage all of us, don't look at yourself at the outward, how you've changed and how things are right now, how we feel right now, about going to the doctor and everything right now, not being able to walk. And I could say that. I don't like it, but hey, like Paul said, this is a short time. This is a very short time. And we'll soon be with the Lord, and everything will be different. Because in Ephesians 2:10 it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. And that workmanship means a work of art, a masterpiece. We are a masterpiece made by God. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. The Lord's going to sing about us. Psalm 139:14, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. We need to keep focused on the Lord. And like Peter says, we read a little bit about it again before, it says, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight is very precious. Colossians 3:12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And in conclusion, 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. So Ephesians 5:27, that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, and that's us. We are the church. present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. We are the church. And that's the way we will be presented to him. Holy, without spot, without blemish. And that is the end. So just a closing word of prayer. Father, we just thank you today, just thinking about how getting in this age, like Solomon said, that so many things would break down on us. We know that you made us beautiful outside and inside in your image, and yet at the same time, because of sin, so much has changed. And Father, rather than to get discouraged about that, you want us to look at the future. How you made us and how you see our heart. So how you see how we're serving you. Just thinking of Pedro and his wife. Lord, how they loved you so much, and in spite of not having anything of this world's goods, not even health, in spite of the extremities looking so bad. But Father, they loved you. Their heart was in worshiping. Their heart was in praying to you, constant in prayer, just as the Apostle Paul said that we should be. So Lord, whatever our condition today, whether we're old and having a lot of health issues, or if, I'm just thinking of Gordon, Lord, as he doesn't have a place to live right now and he needs a good job, Lord, I just pray that his heart will be looking to you, will be serving you, will be talking to others about you, that they will see his beauty. And Lord, that we will be encouraged in you as we think of your beauty, and you made us in your image, and you love us with an everlasting love. Right to the end of this world, like Paul said, this is going to be short. And when we get to you, it'll be an eternal blessing, eternal life without any pain, and just in your presence. Lord, we look forward to that. And today we just pray that this week we'll just think about these things and be thankful that we are beautiful in your sight. Whatever the world says, whatever they think, doesn't matter. And even though they don't like a lot of things that happen in it to us, like the pain, they think that's terrible, and yet we realize that that's a gift of yours to us, to keep us safe, and to show us that you care about us, that you made us in such a way that we could sense the safety of your wonderful works, where you made us your workmanship, where you made us a masterpiece of art. We thank you, Lord, for that. So we just commit the rest of this day to you, in Jesus' name. Amen.